This past Sunday, watching the Super Bowl was a lot of fun. It was, I think, one of the best games for Super Bowls that we've had in a long time, even if my team wasn't there. I think, though, the commercials were really good this year. And one of my favorite ones was the Tide ad commercials. It was just genius marketing, too, because it made you believe that every commercial you were going to see throughout the Super Bowl was really an ad for Tide detergent. Well, is this a technology commercial? No, it's for Tide. Is this for a new phone? No, it's for Tide. Is this for some new beer? Is it a funny beer commercial? No, it's a Tide ad. Is this for a car? No, it's a Tide ad. And how do you know it's a Tide ad? Because everybody is wearing spotless, stainless, clean, crisp, beautiful clothes. Every ad is a Tide ad. It just was great marketing. Well done. In our gospel this morning, we might think that it is a Tide ad, because the only way Mark can describe what happens to Jesus on this Transfiguration Sunday is by looking at his clothes. And he says his clothes were dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. By all means, this looks like a Tide ad. But it is not. Of course, it's not. It's an advertisement, or almost a commercial, for something else. 6 days before this passage, Jesus had gone to his disciples, and for the first time in the Gospel of Mark, he starts looking at the cross, and he tells his disciples, I'm going to suffer, I'm going to be rejected, I am going to die, and I'm going to rise again. But they only have ears for those first three things: the suffering, the rejection, and the death, and they don't like it. And so after this prediction, he takes Peter and James and John, kind of the three disciples of his inner circle, and he goes up this mountain to be by himself. And while he's there, he's transfigured, and we don't know really what that means. Like I said, all Mark can describe are his clothes, but Jesus is radiant. There's something different about him, but at the same time, they know that this is Jesus. And what it looks like to Peter and the disciples is that Jesus finally looks the part. He looks like how they think he should look. He's no longer dirty, grimy, walking through the Galilean countryside, touching sick people, doing all these things. He is dazzling white. He looks the part of what they think a Messiah, what they think Christ should look like. He looks the part. Not only that, but he's talking to some heroes of the Old Testament. Moses and Elijah, the law, the prophet, are there. Jesus looks the part. And Peter, as he often does, speaks before he thinks. He answers a question before one is even asked. And he can't help himself. He looks at this amazing scene. He sees Jesus, a glowing white. He sees Moses and Elijah, and he says, Rabbi, it's good to be here. Let's make some tents. Let's make some dwelling places. Let's stay here, because this is a good place. Peter would love to stay in the presence of glory. He would love to stay in the presence of this wonderful scene. He wants to be here, and he wants to work to make Christ comfortable. Because here, on this mountain, in the presence of glorified Jesus, he doesn't have to look at what the rest of the world is. Here he's not forced to face a fallen and desperate world. Here demons don't dwell. Here, the hungry aren't clamoring about Christ. Here, the poor aren't seeking something from Christ, and the disciples don't have to do work in that case either. Here, the sick aren't present and coughing and doing all these things that sick people do. Here, there's no Pharisees. There's not people. The enemies of Christ are not present here. This is a good place. Let's stay here. Here on this mountain with the glorified Jesus, he also doesn't have to face his sin. Here, he doesn't get rebuked by Jesus. Here, his faith isn't tested. On this mountain, he's not going to have to hear the call of the rooster, which will tell him that he's denied Christ three times. Here, Peter gets to avoid the real world that is full of his sin, the sin of others, the pain, the suffering, the trials of life. Here on the mountain with the glorified Christ, they get to avoid all of it. We are like Peter. We love to avoid suffering. We love to avoid pain. We love to avoid conflict. And we especially love to avoid all that stuff that comes to us on account of our own sin. And we would do whatever we can to stay away from it. In fact, we'll even blame other people for our own issues. If a relationship's gone sour, well, it's the other person. If I did something wrong, well, it's because I fell in with a wrong crowd. We'll even at times turn our sin or our pain into a good thing. We'll put a good twist on it. Well, I'll call this a learning experience. Or that time, that was a season of growth. Or maybe that was even something that ended up freeing me. We'll do whatever we can, but we won't call it sin. We'll avoid it. We'll do what we can to stay in wonder, stay in glory. It's like taking a vacation to Mexico in the middle of February. When you do a vacation like that, or Hawaii, wherever you go, what are you really doing? You're just avoiding real life, right? Life isn't sitting on a beach somewhere with drinks coming to you from every direction, pools all over the place, just beautiful sunshine. That's not life. That's avoiding it. That's saying, no, I don't want to go to work. I don't want to deal with that coworker. I want to get away from my kids. I don't want to deal with sick relatives. I don't want to deal with things that are part of my life right now. I want to sit on a beach somewhere. What is that other than going to the mountain of transfiguration and being in glory? We do what we can to avoid it. But thankfully, Christ does not. Christ is not long on this mountain. He never enters those tents. In fact, Peter never gets even a second to begin making them. Instead, Christ goes down the mountain. His disciples go down the mountain back into the real world. The first thing they see when they get down there is a boy that is possessed by a demon and is being thrown into the fire and thrown into water. The demon will not permit him to speak. They go back to real life, a life that is full of suffering, full of pain, full of sin. But Jesus is right there with them. And from this point on, Jesus has eyes only for the cross. Because as he sees all the suffering of this world, all the sin, all the pain that would torment us, he knows that the cross is the one place he has to go. And so he goes. And he goes so that Peter and James and John and you and me and all who have faith in him, who receive Christ and know that the cross is for them, he goes so that you might be made white and dazzling, radiant, as Christ at the Transfiguration. This is not a Tide ad. Instead, it's an ad for the blood of Christ, which washes you of your guilt, washes you of your sin, forgives you, makes you whole, cleanses you, brings you into the court of God himself, where he does not lay judgment upon you because Christ has taken that judgment for you. You are washed by the blood of Christ. Therefore, in Christ, we have no fear for the sin that we must confront, because we know that Christ went to the cross for our suffering. And so we should have no fear then for retribution from God, because Christ has taken it. We should have no fear then to face our sin, to repent of it, and therefore be forgiven of it. Let us pray. O gracious and heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this preview of what you have in store for us and what you have in part already given us, the cleansing of our sin, the washing in the blood of Christ, the forgiveness of our guilt, and the release. We thank you for that, and help us, O Lord, to have faith as we go through the rest of this valley that is our life, this veil of tears, through suffering and pain on account of the sin of others and on our own, that we would have faith and that we would listen to the words of Christ and remember this passage of what you have in store for us. Strengthen us, O Lord, for all the days ahead, the trials, that we might remain faithful to you. We pray this in your name. Amen.